Good morning. You'll find the Bible readings on your pink handout if you'd like to follow along. The first reading is on the front page from Psalm 35, verses 1 through to 10. Contend, Lord, with those who contend with me. Fight against those who fight against me. Take up shield and armour. Arise and come to my aid. Brandish spear and javelin against those who pursue me. Say to me, I am your salvation. May those who seek my life be disgraced and put to shame. May those who plot my ruin be turned back in dismay. May they be like chaff before the wind, with the angel of the Lord driving them away. May their path be dark and slippery, with the angel of the Lord pursuing them. Since they hid their net for me without cause, and without cause dug a pit for me, may ruin overtake them by surprise. May the net they hid entangle them. May they fall into the pit to their ruin. Then my soul will rejoice in the Lord and delight in his salvation. My whole being will exclaim, who is like you, Lord? You rescue the poor from those too strong for them, the poor and needy from those who rob them.
Good morning. Our second reading is from Acts chapter 1, verses 12 to 26. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120, and said, "Brothers and sisters, the scripture had to be fulfilled in which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through David concerning Judas, who served as a guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our number and shared in our ministry. With the payment he received for his wickedness, Judas bought a field where he fell headlong. His body burst open and all his intestines spilled out. Everyone in Jerusalem heard about this, so they called that field in their language Akeldama, which that is, field of blood. For, said Peter, it is written in the book of Psalms, may his place be deserted, let there be no one to dwell in it, and may another take his place of leadership. Therefore, it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus was living among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection." So they nominated two men, Joseph called Barsabbas, also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs." Then they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias. So he was added to the 11 apostles.
Good morning. Be great if you had your sermon outline open with the passage to Acts. How do you feel about waiting? What if I stood here for a minute? I'm not going to, by the way, because you're already feeling the awkwardness of that, right? So am I, to be honest. But there's something about waiting. There's something about waiting we just don't like. Waiting in that traffic heading down to Nowra during the holidays. Already getting a few nods. We love that waiting, don't we? But we all go through seasons of waiting, right? We all go through seasons of waiting, and it reveals perhaps an impatient kind of feeling. And there's something about waiting we don't love because it feels very inactive. It feels really passive, right? Kind of sitting still, like you're in the traffic. You're just not doing anything, right? You feel like you're waiting perhaps for that special someone to come into your life. Maybe you're waiting for those certain doors of employment to kind of fly open. Maybe you're waiting for a direction in your life to take place. Maybe you're waiting for someone to say you're pregnant. Maybe you're waiting for a loved one to be healed. Maybe you're waiting for a financial need to be met. Maybe you look upon the world as is and you're waiting for peace. Or were you waiting for war, rather, to give way to peace? The scene that we're looking at today in Acts is a time of waiting. For the earliest disciples, it's waiting for the promised Holy Spirit, as we saw last week. Jesus said in verse 8 of chapter 1, you'll receive power on high when the Holy Spirit comes. But they're in this waiting period. And so what does it mean to wait? Well, in fact, what we're going to see today is the church begins by us waiting on the Lord. So let's get into it. As we started last week, Rob helpfully helped us to see that Acts is all about the unstoppable gospel. No matter the obstacle, no matter what kind of things get in the way, but also the opportunities that God would give his followers for the gospel to go out. The gospel will go out. The gospel will and is unstoppable. And we saw that, and we remind ourselves that we're sort of in part two of a kind of a two-part volume. If volume two is Acts, volume one was the Gospel of Luke, in which we remember, and Luke painstakingly helped us to see, Jesus is the Son of God. He brings the kingdom of God to earth and comes to save us from our sins. Acts then is part two and tells us about the establishment, the expansion of this kingdom through his people, through the church. And what we saw last week is that before Jesus ascends into heaven, there's 40 days of the resurrected Jesus hanging out with his friends, the apostles. Imagine that for just a moment. You've seen the risen Lord Jesus, but not only that, you get 40 days of the best teaching from the Son of God. Incredible. In which Jesus opened their hearts and their minds to understand everything in the Old Testament was to be fulfilled and is fulfilled in Jesus. And so then in verse 8, they need to wait, right? They need to wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit before they go out. And so they're waiting. And so how do they wait? It's really interesting. Let's look at it today. How do they wait? Well, first, they wait in prayer. They wait in prayer. You can see that. They go back to Jerusalem. The disciples, they gather together. Verse 14, they all join together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Now, there's a great little word here in that sentence. That word is constantly. Constantly, not like continually. It's kind of a mark of persevering in prayer. But not only that, they're unified. They're in one accord with what they're praying about. And I'd love to be a fly on the wall to know what they were praying about exactly. Were they praying for the Holy Spirit to come? Maybe themselves, they were waiting. Maybe they're a nervous waiter. Maybe you're a nervous waiter. And so they're waiting. They're just like, oh, hurry, Holy Spirit, come on, hurry up. So maybe they were submitting that to prayer. Maybe they were seeking the Lord for strength and his wisdom. Maybe they were thinking about their own heart and how their heart needs to be shaped by the Lord Jesus. And I suspect that if we found out, we would kind of tend to make all those little prayers that they might have prayed and make it into kind of a, here's the formula for effective praying. But we don't know that. But what we do know for sure is that they continued in prayer. They were persistent. They were persevering. And notice that this is not passive. It's active. It's not waiting passively. It's actively preparing. Actively preparing for the coming of the Holy Spirit. They continued to worship the Lord, laying their concerns before the Father, and they kept at it. But not only were they waiting in prayer, they were waiting, secondly, in submission to Scripture. We see this from verse 15. Peter perks up and says, among the believers, brothers and sisters, the Scripture had to be fulfilled in which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through David concerning Judas, who served as guide for those who arrested Jesus. Now, remember, why is Scripture on his mind? Well, certainly Jesus, the great teacher, the great Messiah, had come, and before his ascension, 40 days. 40 days teaching, 40 days meditating on Scripture, on the Old Testament, with Jesus illuminating his mind and his heart. That's incredible. So, of course, Scripture is on his mind. And then we notice that Peter doesn't begin with a vision for the church. You know, he's kind of been in his own little room for kind of a couple of weeks, and he comes out with a giant piece of paper and goes, this is the vision. No, it's not that at all. It's rooted in Scripture. This need to replace Judas as one of the disciples, and it's clear in time of this waiting time, he's listening to God, prompted, of course, by Jesus in the Word. And the same for us. You know, in the times where we are forced to wait and we have this feeling of waiting is passive, right? You know, waiting is not doing anything. No. Not only through prayer, but we need to spend our time reading and searching the Scriptures, waiting for, paying attention, eagerly seeking God's will through his Word so he would prepare us, prepare our heart as they so need to be prepared. But not only that, they're not just waiting in prayer, they're not just waiting in submission to Scripture, they're ultimately waiting on God's choice. We see this, we jump down with me to verse 21 through 26. It's necessary, they work out, to choose one of the men who had been with us this whole time, that the Lord Jesus was with them. So someone had to be a witness. Whoever was going to replace Judas needed to be a witness. They needed to see and not just spend time with Jesus. And incredibly, it's actually so simple. Because it speaks to the credibility of those who would then go out. Those who would then go out and proclaim the risen Lord Jesus. Well, you have to have seen him, right? You have to have spent time with him. You have to know him. So they nominate these two guys, Joseph and a guy called Matthias, and then see how they seek God's will and see how they submit to the choice in verse 24. They prayed, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you've chosen. That's very significant. And then we're told they cast lots. Now, you know, we're not told, you know, we don't really cast lots today. But, you know, back particularly it's very common practice in the Old Testament. You would kind of pick, you might use dice, you might write numbers on a bunch of different rocks and then roll and go, this is the choice. Or you might use straw, you know, you might have certain lengths of straw and then the short one, you know, you draw the short straw, okay, that's the lot it would be assigned to someone or a person or that kind of thing, right? And whichever the lot fell on, that was the choice. Now remember, this is before the coming of the Holy Spirit. Very significantly in the Scriptures, this is the last time we actually see this practice done. That's significant. Why? Because after this, the Holy Spirit comes. And so for us, that's why we don't do that when it comes to making choices or seeking God's will, because he has given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us the Holy Spirit in order to discern his will, through coupled with reading scripture, submitting our will to his through prayer. So the point here is not really the method. The point is not the method of the lot, of casting lots, but notice what they are doing. They submit to what actually is being decided. They're submitting to God's choice. They do that in verse 26. They cast lots. Lots fell to Matthias. So he was added to the 11 apostles. Ultimately, this is the Lord's choice. And so when we step back and reflect upon this kind of period of waiting, well, what is there for us? How does this word, this sort of in-between phase, kind of apply to us today? Well, first, we should seek the Lord in prayer. We should submit our will to the Lord's will in prayer. And prayer, just like for the early apostles, prepares us to hear from God. It's like grabbing and picking up the receiver, you know, the kind of old style phone, yeah, right? You pick it up and you listen. And you pick up and you receive the answer from the phone. And it seems so simple. And because when we think of simple things, what do? We tend to overlook them. Oh, that's too simplistic. But then sometimes, and this is how our mind often works, we think, well, I'm too busy to pray because it's so simple. Oh, it's so easy. But then I kind of come up with another, I'm too busy to pray. And what's that signal? Perhaps it's in order to realign ourselves with God's will, it starts with prayer. It starts, that's the simple way of submitting our will to his. But then secondly, we need to be in God's word. We need to be seeking his will through the scriptures, just like Peter did. Again, he wasn't just seeking the scriptures out of nowhere, right? He had 40 days with the risen Lord Jesus to open his mind and his heart. And of course, that is so important for us today. We can't know what God wants us to do unless we're willing to first listen to his word and then seek to obey it. And it seems so simple again. And yet these practices of reading scripture and submitting ourselves to the Lord in prayer, they're often the most difficult when we think about just waiting, because it feels so passive. It feels like, oh, I'm just doing this, I'm just doing that. No. When we see Peter and the apostles here, what are they doing? They're not sitting on their hands going, I don't know. They're seeking his will by actively preparing through prayer, through reading of the scriptures. And it comes down, really, in the end, to a simple question that kind of reveals our heart. Who are we ultimately going to trust with this unstoppable gospel? Is it totally up to us in our own strength? Do we just go ahead? No. God has given us his Spirit. And so we seek his will as we pray, as we read scripture, as we have his word illuminated by his Spirit. Do we seek to trust him as we go out with this unstoppable gospel? Do we trust the creator of this universe, the one who sees all things and understands all things? Do we trust this one, the risen Lord Jesus, who took the form of a servant so he could give his life as payment for our sin? Because, yes, of course he knows our needs better than anyone. And yet we pray so we can be prepared. We pray, we read scripture so that we might be prepared. And ultimately we submit to the Lord's choice in our lives so that indeed we are prepared. It's not passive waiting, it's active preparation. Which is why today, for us, it's not about waiting, sitting on our hands. No. The church begins by us waiting on the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us today. We thank you for this intermittent period and for the way in which the apostles waited, not passively, but were actively preparing for the coming of the Spirit. Father, we thank you that they prayed, submitting their will to yours, that they submitted to Scripture and in obedience to you. And Father, we pray that as we would see the unstoppable gospel go out, Father, we pray we would see submitting to your choice in all things, that we might live for your honor and your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.